This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Doing well. Just a little bit on the warm side down here in the sunny south. But we'll survive, and before you know it, it will be fall and great time to be out trail riding and cooking out and doing all kinds of things. So we just kind of survived through this humid weather that we have, but it is a pretty day, and I know we have some great guests that are joining us, kind of a special show today.
Yes.
And why don't you let our folks know who our guests are?
Well, today we have Wind River Outfitters, and we talk with Roger Lee Mills and Danny Lee Berry.
All right, so we're going to have a fun time with Roger and Danny, and we remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And by our great show sponsors, TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trail. You can learn more today at TrailGuard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. Trailhead Supply can be found on their website at TrailheadSupply.com. And you can start shopping right away. Just wait until this show is over. But anyway, we're going to be back. We're going to encourage you to take a deep seat, grab a big cup of coffee. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Roger and Danny, and we'll be traveling back to the year 1866. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Thank you. wanna save your soul from hell, riding on our range. And cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. Trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yo.
Well, in the late 1860s, the war between the states had just ended. There was a mass migration out to the West as people were trying to create new lives for themselves. The demand for beef and cattle was increasing, and new trails were being opened. And the most important person in the trail herd crew was the cook. And we're going to welcome two of the best, and that's Danny Berry and Roger Mills. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary.
Tina, good to talk
Hi,
to y'all.
Hi, Tina.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to do a lot. This is kind of Western today. You know, I started to invite people just to spread their saddle blanket out and lean back on the saddle and grab that big cup of coffee. But let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what brought the interest in the chuck wagon cooking to you guys, and how did you meet?
Well, we got to eat, you know.
Yeah.
I'm skinny. I can't go without food very long, you know. Y'all seen that.
We saw that. That's Danny, by the way.
Yeah. Go ahead, Roger.
You know, I was going to say, Roger, I don't know if I like the way you said that.
Yeah. Well, you know, 4 years ago, I used to do Civil War reenacting. And when we did the Civil War reenacting, pants had to be period correct, and a lot of the public would come through our camps and look at the way Civil War soldiers lived and the way we cooked and everything. And somehow or another, I end up becoming the cook for our group. I've always enjoyed cooking outdoors. Always loved to grill. I don't cook inside much at all. My wife doesn't allow me to do much in the kitchen. But most of my cooking is outdoors. And when I started doing the Civil War reenacting, we had to cook everything on a wood fire, and we had to be somewhat period correct. So. I became the cook for our group, and then whenever we joined other bigger groups and put on bigger battles, somehow I ended up cooking for everybody. So that's kind of how I got my start. And we tried to cook authentic dishes, and some events that we went to, we were given rations for the weekend, and we had to use those rations and cook what the original Civil War soldiers would have ate. So it was interesting, and
You learn to make the most of what you had.
Yeah. Get creative.
You
got creative, and it seemed like every event, more guys would come over around the fire and bringing stuff and say, "Here, man, can you cook this for us?" So, you know, it kind of evolved from there. And then we got to the point where we wanted to do something different, and we sit down. Me and a buddy of mine sat down one day, and we started talking about starting a venture, and we ended up coming up with Wind River Outfitters, and then soon Danny joined us, and since then Daniel actually has moved on. He's moved on back to Texas, but so Danny and I are continuing. But as far as the cooking part of it, that's kind of how I got started. And so we met, actually Danny knew my wife before I did, and I'll let him tell you that story.
Yeah, that's a good story. I've known Jan for 40 years, and we first met when I was a freshman in high school, and I was doing a stage show, and Tina won't remember this, but Gary will. You remember Flip Wilson did Geraldine?
I do.
Well, I did Flip Wilson's Geraldine for a stage show.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And in fact, it was only up till about 10 years ago that Jan could call me by my actual name. She just called me Geraldine for 30 years. But anyway, met her way back then. And as time went on, after I got out of high school and some years went by, we started seeing her on a somewhat regular basis. And we had a good time together. And she'd run her fingers through my hair and, you know, that kind of stuff. Of course, that's what a hairdresser does. So,
right.
And then, Roger's forgiven us for that. I've known Jan all that time. And then, she got hooked up with Roger and I told her that'd be okay. And, so the rest is history, you know?
Oh, wow.
Danny and I, actually, Gary, the first time Danny and I got together and rode together, I'd had an invitation to come and help move some cattle from a buddy of mine. They got 1,500 acres here in Indiana. And they were rounding up cattle. And I spoke with Danny a few times on the phone. We talked about horses and riding one thing then another. And I contacted him and said, hey, you know, I'm going to go move some cattle.
I think it was a test.
Yeah.
he didn't know if I knew which end to get on or off of even, but I guess I passed the test because, I mean... Yeah.
If he could really ride, but he showed up and we helped gather the cattle and sort them and had a really good day and made a lot of memories and had a good time. And then since then we've been riding together and working together and having a great time.
Well, you guys do a great job, and cooking's unbelievable. And as a matter of fact, last night I was getting notifications from Facebook. And people were still talking about those amazing beans. Yeah. As a matter of fact, somebody suggested there was a sexy name for the beans, but we won't go there right now.
Uh-oh.
Maybe during the break we might talk about that.
Yeah.
Maybe during the break we'll do that. How did you guys decide to do the chuck wagon and follow the Western theme?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in that part of history, Gary, in that particular period of history. And you know, I used to read a lot about it. Of course, like anybody else, watched all the old Western movies and had horses when I was a child. And I used to pretend I was Roy Rogers, you know, when I was a kid. I'd ride my pony and I would just get lost. My imagination would just go, and I would get lost and ride and ride and ride. And that part of history has always been very romantic to me and very interesting. And after years of doing reenacting, you know, the Civil War period of history, you know, I thought it would be nice to actually do something that I love doing and get paid to do it because the reenacting hobby is expensive. And, you know, we spent a lot of money traveling to different battlefields and reenacting those Civil War battles, which it was, to me, it was very fun and interesting, but it is expensive. So, you know, we come up with the idea of doing something that we love to do and maybe entertaining other people and let them be a part of it and make a little money in the meanwhile. So we came up with Wind River Outfitters, and we focus on that period of time when the cowboy was in his heyday, 1860s, 1870s, 1880s. And, I'd always wanted a chuck wagon. I've got friends that have them and I've seen them. And, we got to looking and I found an old wagon and bought it. Restored it, and I built a chuck box to suit me, how I wanted a chuck box, but I tried to stay somewhat period correct, how they would have looked during the 1800s.
Right.
And you saw it. You saw it in Tennessee there.
Yeah.
But we've taken a lot of places and cooked for a lot of people, and it's very interesting to me, and everything we do, all the cooking that I do, I try to do it from scratch on the wood fire. And we try not to use any pre-made, you know, ingredients. And I try to keep it as traditional as I can. And it's interesting to me, and it's fun to prepare a meal for people and have it all together at the same time and get it finished and complete at the same time. And it's
right.
It's a challenge.
I think one reason that for the main reason that this works so well for us is we both share the same passion about horses and the West. And unlike Roger, I didn't grow up having horses. I always wanted them. It took me 46 years to get started. But I always, you know, I watched Roy and the Lone Ranger and all that stuff. And I've always played cowboys and Indians and, you know, but didn't have a horse to pony to ride. But I still had that same dream and that same passion. And I think that we complement one another, and it helps us to reach people because we're on the same wavelength, and people, I think, sense that, and we can bring them along with us easier because we both have the same heart and the same passion about the West and the cowboys and the horses and the history of our country. And that's a great part of U.S. history, because that was probably the greatest single migration and settling in the country in a short period of time. You know, up to that point it was slow, but when the West started to settle and the ranches started to grow, it actually went pretty quick. And it's a big part of our history, and we want to share that with people.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to play some cowboy music today and do some cowboy poetry, as well as talk with you guys about what you're doing and how you got involved with things like the poetry that we'll talk about in just a little bit. But right now, this is a story about a cowboy and his horse. And it wasn't always like it was in the movies. This is one called Sancho, and it's by R.W. Hampton on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
One thing those movies did have right was that part about the horse. How important the horse was to the cowboy. Why, a man afoot was no man at all. Here's a song about one of my favorite ponies. In the Arizona desert, where the tall saguaros grow, where the purple Bradshaw mountains rise, the Agua Fria flows. Down in a lonesome sand wash where no man should ever go, a buzzard picks the sun-bleached bones of the horse that I call Sancho. Sancho was a good horse, best one I ever owned. His blood was hot as the desert sun, stout of heart and bone. A rangy, long, blood-colored bay, he was only 4 past 12. The day I drug my saddle from the horse that I called Sancho. We were rounding up the slick ones when our work was almost done. I jumped another maverick bunch for one last downhill run. I should have known it had enough, but I just had to go. Catch another wild cow brood on the horse that I called Sancho. Down a rough and rocky mountainside for 2 and 1 mile more, I had to beat and cut him off down to the desert floor. Through the boulders and the choya to the sandy wash below. Word no such thing as quit or stop in the horse that I called Sancho. I closed the gap on a brindle cow of maybe 2 or 3. I jerked her down and I tied her up to a palo verde tree. I loosened off the cinches so my old part could blow. But breath came short from the mighty lungs of the horse that I called Sancho. Out on the dark, a desert where nobody else can see, the tears I cry for an honest horse who gave his all for me. If heaven has a place for him, I know that's where he'll be. Standing saddle ready in the home that waits for me. In the Arizona desert where the tall saguaros grow, where the purple Bradshaw mountains rise, the Awafria flows. Down in a lonesome sand wash where no man should ever go, buzzard picks the sun-bleached bones of my beloved Sancho.
Well, these songs and the poetry told stories, and, you know, contrary to what we see on TV, you didn't have the Sons of the Pioneers riding along with their banjos and their guitars and all of those things out on the trail. Most of what was done were cowboys telling their stories, and usually in the form of poetry and maybe a harmonica or something along with them. But Danny, how'd you get involved in the cowboy poetry?
Well, I've got a background in performing and theater and music and sort of several different things, but I had never really thought about it until I got hooked up with Roger, and I'd seen heard Baxter Black and on RFD TV from time to time, and thought that was really cool. But when Roger and I started getting together and he was talking about the business and the things he wanted to try to do, he gave me a CD of Waddy Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that and just fell in love with the old Nighthawk. And I said, man, I got to learn this. So I got the Nighthawk under my belt, and that's probably our favorite. But I thought, you know what? You know, I need to have some of my own writings if I'm going to do this and not, use everybody else's.
Right.
So I just kind of got started, and I wrote four in the first month. When I started The Greenhorn's Ride, which is a title cut from my album, that was the first thing I ever wrote. And then I'd well go dry, for several months, and I'd be inspired again. And so I've been writing now for a couple of years is all. And I've got some new ones that I've just worked on that aren't on that album. But it adds so much to the experience for people, and I enjoy it, I think, more than the people do, because like we talked about earlier, I have that passion, and I like taking people other places, and when I do a poem or a story, especially the serious ones, I go there, and I'm able to take people with me, and it's an experience that makes it more real to people, and they can feel and envision in more real terms what the West probably was like. And that's what we want to do for them, is give them that insight and that experience in their mind and in their heart.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna take them back to that period of time. And right now we're going to do kind of a combination. This is a song that's called Born to be a Cowboy, and then we're going to share with you The Greenhorn's Ride by Danny, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
The painted walls of how my heart can see them yet. As a boy of 18 summers, long before I knew regret, there I rode the bold unwilling, and my loop was keen and true. And even in the dead of winter, the sky seemed always blue. And it's been saddle horse and catch twine that has been my life. Some say it's been my downfall, for the world has passed me by. The life I live I freely chose. I'm at it yet tonight. I was born to be a cowboy, and I will be till I die. I was born to be a cowboy, and I will be till I die.
Well, a greenhorn rode in one day, wanted to join our bunch. Said he wanted to learn to cowboy and find some cows to punch. We said you're welcome to it if you can pass our test, but if you fail, you'll be down the trail just like all the rest. Now, it's no surprise the test we devised no one had ever passed, and this guy wouldn't be the first and certainly not the last. So we got ourselves an empty can, filled kerosene to the top. The test would be to ride his horse and never spill a drop. So the greenhorn mounted up and we handed him the can, and there he sat, quite nervous, but with an even hand. Horse and rider sat stock still to be sure all was ready. Then with one deep breath, the greenhorn said, "Okay, I think I'm ready." Well, they were well on their way and had a nice calm walk, when from the brush a rabbit jumped and caused that horse to balk. And when he did, that greenhorn tried with every ounce of will to hold that can still even and avoid a massive spill. Well, as was designed, the greenhorn failed the test we gave, of course. Kerosene was everywhere and most went on the horse. Down his rump and under his tail, that kerosene did run. And that, my friends, is all it took to start some raucous fun. Like a powder keg, that pony blew straight up to the sky. He came down and hit the ground and made his rider cry. He zigzagged back and forth, who knew where he would go? And all the while, the greenhorn just kept a-screaming, "Whoa!" Greenhorn thought after one big hop as he dropped the second rein, "This horse has ate some loco weed and has surely gone insane." That colt bucked high and sidestepped low, and none of it was slow. Crossed his mind at any time to his maker he could go. With leather slapping and chaps a-flapping, he held on with all his might. We all agreed him on his steed didn't make quite a sight. None of us stepped up to help as he pitched to and fro. We thought it was a hoot, just enjoyed the show. Then all at once that horse just stopped and dropped his head to eat. He hardly made a single twitch and stood on all 4 feet. That pony stood as calm as any packer's mule. We weren't surprised, for we surmised he simply ran out of fuel.
Goodness gracious. Well,
and that's, thank you so much.
And that's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. You know, everybody wants to be a cowboy. They think they're born to be a cowboy, but we're all greenhorns at some time.
It's
fun putting that together.
And say green on green makes black and blue, you know.
Absolutely. Yes, we've all been there.
That's right. I've got my share of it.
Yeah. Well, talking about the experience that you guys bring both to an event that you attend, because you were at Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Riding Benefit a few weeks ago up at the Circle E Guest Ranch, and absolutely brought the atmosphere with you. You guys were great. People loved everything about the event with you there, and the food and the poetry and the music was all great. And but as you're creating these experiences, and do you think about the way that it was back on the trails when these guys were actually out for months at a time and not seeing anyone except the trail crew? And
we love it, but makes you a little homesick sometimes, you know. And I'm sure those guys felt the same way. You know, everybody, every cowboy wasn't a loner necessarily. You know, I talk about that in some of my stuff, that, you know, some of those guys had families. You know, they were married. The majority of them not, but some were. And there's another misconception there about the West, that, you know, every cowboy was a rough, tough guy that, you know, was ready to, you know, fight and shoot everybody. And we have to remind ourselves that people are people and have been since the beginning of time. And those guys had the same emotions and feelings and relationships that men do today. It's just in a different setting. So we try to bring some vision to some of that. And we feel that, you know, we try to put ourselves in that place and imagine, you know, what it would really have been like, and we try to make the atmosphere conducive to having those thoughts.
Well, it makes an event, and you know, you can just imagine being out on the trail, sitting around the campfire, and having that cup of coffee and kind of relaxing, and maybe visiting with the guys before the time to hit the bedroll. But and actually, we did kind of sit around and drink some coffee and visit a little bit. So that was a cool thing.
You know the old cookie, the old chuck wagon cook. He did more than just cook. You know, he would usually have in his truck box concoctions to doctor the horses. He always had the bottle of snake bite medicine, of course. You know, it's
right.
My knee. I needed a stiff shot. He always had a bottle, and he was, you know, he wasn't about pulling some teeth, cutting your hair. You know, he did more than just cook, and he could dish out advice and stories. And the chuck wagon was like the center in the evenings after the drive, and after the horses were taken care of, the chuck wagon, when the boys came to eat, the chuck wagon was like the center place to talk with your friends you haven't seen all day. They've been out on horseback, and to catch up and tell stories and tell lies. And like you say, everybody contributed their part. I'm sure they weren't that great of singers. You know, some of them were probably somewhere between a crow and a canary, probably closer to the crow, sound of the crow than, but they did their part. And a lot of the songs that they sang were old gospel songs. The cowboys remembered from growing up, you know, and there was a lot of old gospel songs, and there had been a lot of old gospel tunes. They changed the words and used the tunes from those old gospel songs for their cowboy songs that they put together, which some of them were originally poems, and they became songs. So
right. Well, and a lot of the folks that had moved out from the West had come back from the Appalachian area of the country, and there was a lot of Celtic blood and a lot of Celtic music. So when you listen to some great Western music, you're going to hear a lot of that Celtic melody, and they just modify the words to bring that about. So, you know, we want to acknowledge one of our sponsors and take another quick break. But when we come back, we want to talk about some chuck wagon recipes. And we want to talk just a little bit, and this is where Tina May is going to jump in, because she loves to talk about the trails but we want to talk about some of the events that you guys do back up in Indiana, and we're going to do that when we come back. But right now, let's talk about Trail Guard, one of our great show sponsors. Trail Guard provides 24-hour roadside travel assistance. It offers unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get you to your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you in your vehicle or one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip and do much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today about Trail Guard at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Roger, Danny, and Tina May on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world at equestrianlegacy.net.
Lightning rolled in hoops and circles, and rain and sheets was coming down. Thunder rattled through the gulches as the hoofbeats shook the ground. And cowhands rode hell for leather, begging God for the break of day. A stampede beat the best camp meeting when it come to getting men to pray. I was but a young man, I was wild and full of fire. A youth within my teens and full of challenge and desire. Ran away from home and left my mother and my dad. Grieved them so to think that their only boy was bad. I fell in with an outlaw band, the names are known quite well. How many times we robbed and plundered I could never tell. This kind of sinful living will lead only to a fall. I learned that much and more the night I heard my master call. One night we rustled cattle, 1,000 head or so. Started them out on the trail that leads to Mexico. A norther started blowing, lightning flashed about. I thought someone was calling me, I thought I heard a shout. And at that moment lightning struck not 20 yards from me. And left there was a giant cross where once there was a tree. This time I knew I'd heard a voice so sweet and plain. A voice that came from everywhere, a voice that called my name. So frightened I was thinking of the sinful deeds I'd done. I failed to see the 1,000 head of cattle start to run. The cattle all stampeded and were running all around. My pony ran but stumbled and he threw me to the ground. I felt the end was nearing, that death would be the price. When a mighty bolt of lightning showed the face of Jesus Christ. I cried, oh Lord, forgive me, don't let it happen now. I want to live for you alone, and God, these words I vow. My wicked life unfolded and I thought of wasted years, as another bolt of lightning killed 100 head of steers. The others rushed on by me, but I was left to live, for the master had a reason, life was his to take or give. A miracle performed that night, I wasn't meant to die. The dead ones formed a barricade, at least 6 or 7 high. And right behind it there was I, afraid but safe and sound. I cried and begged for mercy, kneeling there upon the ground. A pardon I was granted, my sinful soul set free. No more to fear the angry waves upon life's stormy sea. Forgiven by the love of God, a love that will remain. I gave my life and soul the night the Savior called my name. I gave my life and soul the night the Savior called my name.
That is our friend Don Edwards and one of his most well-known songs, The Master's Call, and was written and performed by Marty Robbins. And great, great song. And it really,
it's a great song.
Yeah, it goes in and talks about the challenges out there on the trails and what these guys had to deal with. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking about Rawhide and Wishbone. You know, he probably was hiding underneath that chuck wagon when the stampede came, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what, you know what they say, you know what they say, Gary?
What's that?
Treat a mad rattlesnake and a chuck wagon crook alike. Don't mess with either one. Don't mess with either one of them.
Gosh. Yeah, you better keep the cook happy. That's for sure.
Stay out of his way.
Oh gosh. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Wind River Outfitters rides that you do, because you've got a pretty neat deal that you do as far as having folks in and the cooking and the riding that you take them on, and it's really kind of primitive, isn't it? I mean, it's like going back to the West. You're getting away from all these things.
Yeah, we tell people you can take a trip out west and do it right here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So far it's worked. Lost Cabin Pass is our camp, and it's like stepping back into time. And we got pole corrals and covered wagons, and there's an old cabin on the place, and it's just people really, really like it. We're pretty sure that nobody has that type, that presentation and that atmosphere of a camp this side of the Mississippi. And that's what we want, something unique that people don't have to drive 1,000 miles to experience.
Well, talk a little bit about how people get there and what actually goes on when they get into camp. What are your activities, and you're gonna have to talk about the menu, so that's for sure. Cause...
Yeah.
Well, one thing for sure.
Go ahead, Roger.
We don't have electricity, so our whole camp is lit with kerosene lantern and candle lanterns. And we do have an outhouse, a men and women's outhouse. We do have running water, so we're able to cook and take care of the horses. But as far as when we came up with the concept of Lost Cabin Pass, there's three things we wanted to stay with. We wanted to have unique accommodations, which we have covered wagons and canvas wall tents. They're actually Civil War era tents. They have wood floors, wood walls, and we have cots that you can sleep on, so you're not actually on the ground. And the covered wagon, we have two covered wagons you can sleep in, and in those covered wagons, We furnish a fresh bale of straw, and when our guests get there, we'll cut the string on the straw. We make a bed, foot thick of straw, and we cover it with a clean canvas.
We have people ask us, well, how do you decide who gets the wagons and who gets the tents? I said, well, we give everybody guns, and whoever comes out gets the wagon.
The straw bed is a traditional. The traditional bed, and they're comfortable. We had one lady tell us she slept better in the wagon on the straw in her sleeping bed than she slept at home. So,
oh, wow.
But, we wanted unique accommodations. We wanted above-average food that people would not be expecting. So we put together a menu. And our most popular is the ribeye steak. We do ribeye steak grilled on hickory wood. We do with that steak, we do usually bourbon carrots, carrots with bourbon sauce, or we do a grilled potato. It's halfway between a baked and a grilled potato, with sour cream and chives. Then we do a salad, a really good salad. And normally we make the dressing. I make the dressing from scratch. And then we do, I do a butter called cilantro lime butter. We take a real high quality butter. Then I chop up cilantro and the juice of the lime to season the butter. And then normally, I hate to say that, I don't bake the bread. I normally get the bread from my Amish friend.
Uh-huh.
And, she bakes the bread for me, which it's homemade in a wood stove. Only I don't make it, but she furnished me with the bread, and the bread with the cilantro lime butter goes really well. And
it goes really fast.
Yeah, I bet it goes fast. Tina May, are you hungry yet? I mean,
I'm telling you, the ribeye steak and the cilantro lime butter, goodness, guys.
I tell you what, and first time I had Roger's steak, honestly, it's the best steak I've ever had in my life, and I've ate a lot of steaks a lot of places, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Roger, I'm gonna be looking for that steak.
Yeah, I've learned from a guy, and I worked in Alaska for a while as a guide in Alaska, and we had a cook up there, and I tell you what, that guy, we did some steaks out on the wood fire, and oh my gosh, and I asked him how he did them, he goes, I can't tell you, and he was serious, he wouldn't tell me for probably a month, and I kept bugging him, and finally I told him, I said, look man, when I go back to Indiana, I'm not gonna be your competitor up here in Alaska, tell me how you... And he did. He kind of told me how he did his steak. So I stayed with that. And they do have a good flavor. They really do. And it's the hickory wood that helps a lot.
Oh, wow.
And then we always do a dessert in the Dutch oven. We do a dessert in the Dutch oven. I don't use charcoal. I use the coals from the wood. And we either do peach cobbler, bread pudding with like a bourbon sauce or vanilla sauce. I do a pineapple upside down cake. And we do grilled peaches. I don't know if you've ever had grilled peaches, but we grill peaches. We grill peaches with a marinade of cinnamon, honey, and vanilla.
Oh wow!
Marinade.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
I know you guys use bourbon a lot in your cooking.
We don't remember that. We keep finding empty bottles, but we don't know where it goes.
Gosh. Well, I mean,
this is
authentic chuck wagon cooking. So, I mean, you'd expect bourbon of some kind, whiskey or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, something's on hand.
We all, in our defense, we only cook with it. We do not drink it. So, It's too precious to waste.
Yeah. We wanted that. Above average food, unique accommodations, and above average entertainment. And Danny brings the entertainment. You know, he's a fantastic storyteller, and he has the ability to transport people back to a period of time. And I've watched people around the campfire when he's doing his stories and things, and they're absolutely totally immersed in what he's saying and what he's doing.
They're mesmerized. I mean, when Danny was talking, I don't know if people heard him say, I go there. He literally puts himself into character, and he brings you with him. And those two
that I did down there before you all left that day, I actually do those on horseback on Old Snip, and it adds a whole new element to that.
Around the fire with the moon and the stars and the coyotes, and it's just, if you don't go there, then you're sadly missing out on an experience.
Well, Danny, why don't you do that poem about the, what was it, the Hanson Bay?
The Hanson Bay. Normally, Roger plays guitar and does an awesome job, and it adds a whole another dimension to it. But this poem here is representative of my life to a point. I mentioned earlier I was 46 years old before I got my first horse, and I'd waited those years, and God saw fit to give me my first horse, and he's a bay, and he is handsome. And so I thought about, how much that means, and other people have the same relationship with horses and how strong that can be. So that all that inspired this poem. This is The Hanson Bay. He had always longed for something that seemed so hard to find. He needed a companion to ease his heart and mind. He struggled through his life, seeming always in disarray.
till the day he found a friend, a horse, a handsome bay. From that time on, the world for him did not really change. People saw how he lived and somehow thought it strange. For a man that trouble followed could always seem to cope. They didn't see how such a life left room for any hope. He wasn't much to look at. In fact, he was rather plain. He seemed always to be behind and labored for every gain. Really had no home. He drifted along life's way. The only friend he had on earth was his loyal, handsome bay. They traveled many years together, miles and miles across the West. And hardly a day went by that life didn't put them to a test. But somehow they always made it and would continue on their way. For they drew strength from one another, the man and his handsome bay. He would often lay awake at night and look up at the stars and wonder why his life was filled with so many scars. But he was not angry or bitter in any way, and he thanked God for the blessing of his handsome bay. Then one day their lives were ended. Angry bullets made them fall. The troubled life was over, for death comes to one and all. But this new journey would not be lonely as he traveled heaven's way, for his soul would ride to Jesus aboard his loyal, handsome bay. I do that at camp with old Snip standing right beside of me, and it's tough for me to get through that without getting all choked up. But he's a trooper. He's standing right there with me, you know, and we've been through a lot. So I relate, you know, to that, and the passion and the love of horses, and I enjoy helping people with their horses and just sharing, you know, sharing that love, and it means a lot. And like I said, I waited most of my whole life to have a chance to do that. So, and I thank Roger especially for giving me the opportunity, because if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be doing any of this. So I appreciate him more than anything.
Yeah. Well,
it's a great, great poem, and I think that a lot of people can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Danny has such passion, and, you know, if you don't have passion for life and for living and for the things you do, then you're really missing out. And, you know, I appreciate his passion for storytelling and his poetry and the relationship he has with the horses. And it does something for what we're doing. And passion is a big deal with me.
And
I try to be passionate about everything I do. So it works well. It works well.
Well, for somebody that waited until they were 46 to start riding, you've done pretty good in the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, it's been almost 10 years, but I've only been riding poetry for 2 years, and the first 2 years of riding wasn't real good. I've got 6 ribs and a collarbone broke to show for it, but I got better. I got better. I haven't had a wreck now for about 4 years, so.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Well,
let's
while we're
into the poetry, there's another one that is really, really neat, and we want to do this one. This is one that's called The Gift, and when we come back, let's talk about the trails, Tina May, and you got so hung up on that food, you hadn't brought up the trails. Let's talk about what there is to see and do, and we'll listen to this one called The Gift. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Roger and Danny and Tina May on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
God contemplated many things as he laid out his plan to create the world in such a way to make it good for man. He wanted to give him something to care for in his life, something that could help him in those times of strife. He thought of what man's life would face, his journey moving place to place. He wanted to give him something to cause him joy on earth, something that would give him some real sense of worth. Then God considered all he thought, and his work begun to make this gift for man a very special one. He took a measure of courage and a great big chunk of heart. A large amount of beauty was an essential part. God put it all together, this thing he made for man, combining all he had considered with an ever-loving hand. This gift he made for man would be an ever-gentle force, a thing of comfort and of love. God called the gift the horse.
From the rolling of green pastures to where the sagebrush meets the pine, we'll do our bidding to the land we'll leave behind. Welcome in the highlands and the summer day so long. Little piece of heaven sitting on the cowboy's throne, looking for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the misty haze of twilight, when the night horse rings her bell, roll it up, saddle up, and hit that loving trail. Ride off towards the mountains and the snow-capped covered peaks, hoping that beyond the pass you're waiting there for me to put an end to this long and lonely road. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the deserts of Nevada to the streams in Idaho, paradise, these trails all lead you home. And I'm through with days of wandering, so I'm coming home to stay. The only view I need is looking through the ears of that old bay, waiting for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll.
That is Trinity Seeley and Cricket Roll, and that was Danny Berry's The Gift, a beautiful poem. And we do need to remind our folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply, your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And Tina May, you were just saying that you wanted to find out more about what goes on at these trail rides that these guys are doing.
Yes, Wind River Riding at the Lost Cabin Pass. I was, why don't you tell us a little bit on what a day is like when people get together, the group, and what you do?
We have a couple different options. You know, one option, you can meet us at a place called Midwest Trail Rides. We all meet there, and it's 3 hours by horseback from our camp. And what we do, we pack up your belongings that you're going to need for the night. Normally, most people would bring a sleeping bag, a pillow, and their overnight bag.
Real quick, on that note, Tina, that's the better option for people that have to travel some distance, you know, mm-hmm. come in the night before and park and set up there, and then the following morning we would get ready to make the trip to Lost Cabin. But if people are close by, you know, a few hours away, then they don't have to get up and then, you know, leave the night before to get there. So if people
right.
are traveling any distance, it's a good option for them to come because they have a full service campground and they can park their trailer or their
yeah.
camper
mm-hmm.
and hook up and have a good night's rest and then the next day get ready to come with us. So go ahead, Roger.
Yeah. And then it's 3 hours by horseback from there on a beautiful, beautiful stretch of trail through the Hoosier National Forest, southern Indiana. And mm-hmm. once we get to camp, it's about 9 miles by horseback, I would say. 9 or 10 miles maybe. It takes about 3 hours on a quarter horse. And we pack all your stuff up on the pack horses. We can only accommodate groups up to 10. We take from 2 to 4 people to 10. And then once we get to camp, you pick out if you want a wagon or if you want a tent. You pick out where you want to spend the evening. And then once everybody gets settled in, we get the horses taken care of. We do have a pole corral for the horses. We have water. We have an outhouse. And then once the evening progresses, I start supper, and we try to have supper right before dark. And then after supper, immediately after supper, before Danny does the poetry and entertaining, and I put the dessert on. We put on dessert, and then we gather around the fire, and, you know, for several hours, it's storytelling, songs, and poetry, and You can hit the sack whenever you get ready. Like I say, kerosene lanterns and candles. There's no electricity. It makes for a really good atmosphere with the fire and the kerosene. We do have a cantina. Sometimes, if you're so inclined, we'll go in the cantina. I do have some old recorded acoustic music on a battery-powered CD player, and we show people how to do the old cowboy waltz. When my wife comes up, she'll put on her period clothing and we do some waltzing instructions.
It's the Wild Rose, the Wild Rose Cantina, and it's like an old saloon inside, and it's a really, really nice atmosphere.
Yeah, and the waltzing is fun. It's relaxing. And anyways, next morning, all you can eat breakfast. I start cooking breakfast a little after daylight. Whenever everybody gets up, there's no schedule. There's no particular time.
Yeah, we don't watch the clock at all.
No clock watching. When people get up and get going, I'll put breakfast on. I try to have coffee going by the time everybody gets up. And then normally we do blueberry pancakes, bacon, fried potatoes, sausage maybe, assorted fruit, fresh fruit. But you can eat as much as you like. I just keep fixing food as long as people are eating. And then,
that could be dangerous.
And then after everybody gets finished eating, we usually sit around and talk for a while. And I like to hear people's stories, where they're from, what they do. And then later on, we'll saddle up and head back to Midwest. So it's part of 2 days and overnight. And then the other option is you can come directly to the property where our camp is. And we'll pick you up out front, get you on horseback, and pack your stuff up to camp. Once we get set up at camp, same thing, you know, we spend the rest of the evening. The only thing is, the next day, after breakfast, we saddle up and we pack lunch over to an old historic church. We have lunch over there. We pack everything on the pack horses. And then after lunch, we'd make our way back to camp, and then people can leave later on that evening. So,
and we still, either way, people still get about the same amount of hours in the saddle, but it's broken up. Instead of two long rides, it's broken up into more shorter rides. So saddle time equals out about the same. And some people like that better. We have a lot of people that don't ride regularly, and they appreciate the 1 to 2 hours instead of the 3 hour plus.
Right.
So we break it up more, and it's more convenient for some folks to do it that way.
Now, are most of your rides just the weekend? I mean, you mentioned two days. How long can people come and ride with you?
Well, for now, we've been picking people up on Saturday, spend the night Saturday night. Yeah. We can customize the trip. If you want longer, we can customize a trip for you.
Okay.
We like to think we can accommodate just about anybody and work with their schedule. And through the week, we can work
through the week. Obviously, the weekends are more convenient for most folks, but if people can only come through the week, then we'll work something out.
Okay. All right.
Well, and I want to let our listeners know also that not only can they bring their own horse, but for those that don't want to bring the horse or don't have a horse and want to experience this, you also furnish horses.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, we do have.
Yeah,
we got several good horses. There's a Time Bomb and Short Fuse. And what's the other one?
Terminator.
Terminator, yeah.
Yeah,
we got a lot of good horses.
Oh,
I started to say you always need somebody to break horses for you, so just come on.
Yeah.
They'll fix you right
yeah,
up.
I don't want to get busted up anymore. We're going to, you know, we'll let somebody else do the hard stuff.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
We do.
Yeah,
we do. You know what? We have never had an accident or an incident or a problem since we started with at all. We've never had an issue with any horses, especially our horses. So it's worked out really well.
And what's the farthest away that you've had guests come to do these rides with you?
Well, you know, one lady.
Michigan. We had one from overseas, didn't we, Roger?
She was over here on a job, but her job brought her over here. She was
right,
from Denmark.
Right.
From Denmark.
Denmark.
And
wow.
And she wanted something to do on the weekend while she was here. She got online, found this little trip, and she had ridden in a pass a little bit, not much. But we put her on Old Gunner, I think, Danny. And, she had a great ride. She enjoyed herself, and she had some good stories. She was from Denmark. So
I've tried to keep track of how many different states people have come from, and I should have been writing it down, but I think eight or ten states so far, and you know, up north, down south, you know, just all over. So
that's great. Well, you're kind of centrally located.
And the Hoosier,
with you being in Indiana.
Right, and the Hoosier National Forest has beautiful trails. They're well kept, and it's good riding. Very good riding.
Let's talk a little bit about the Hoosier National Forest and what kind of trails that are there, what's there for folks to see, and those that have not been in Indiana. Tell us a little bit about the trails and what kind of terrain it is.
There's a lot of variety. The trails that we take, you're up high on a ridge a couple of times through the high part, mm-hmm. then you're down low following the low creeks down in the valley. Part of the time you're riding through pine forest, others hardwoods. It's very scenic. There's nothing that's terribly steep or rough. They've got pretty good trails that keep them up well. There's no nail biters, you know. It's pretty good stuff, and they do a nice job with it.
See, Gary, you can go.
I can go. That's right.
Yeah, I would say they're moderate trails. They do have a wilderness area that you can ride in called the Dean Wilderness, and very pristine, very untouched. They do maintain the trails, but they do it with pack animals. There are no motorized equipment.
Even the Park Service is not allowed to take motorized equipment in that wilderness area.
Yeah, they maintain the trails with pack animals. So that's a good ride in the Dean Wilderness. It's within the Hoosier National Forest. It's a beautiful perspective. I'm sorry?
But it's kind of safe to say that you have trails for the novice all the way up to the experienced.
Yeah. Yes.
We've had a lot of people that don't normally ride. We've had some people that ride abnormally. We've had, all those kinds of people. But we've had greenhorns. We've had, it's nothing that's intimidating, even for people that don't ride. So it's a nice variety, and it's really pretty.
One lady was a dressage riding instructor. Remember that, Danny? Yeah, she was a dressage rider, but the trails are not difficult at all, and they're well maintained.
Okay, and so you're by the Hoosier National Forest, so you're in Brown County. Give us a little bit more of where exactly you're located.
Well, we're absolutely in the middle of nowhere. So.
Perfect.
If you look at the map. People can, of course, look at the map, and they look at Hoosier National, or you'll see the forest. Bloomington is north of there, Bloomington, Indiana. And if you look at the Hoosier in its entirety, we are kind of on the southeast side. If you look on the map, if you go right up, you go up Interstate 65 from Louisville,
mm-hmm.
you go up through Seymour and Columbus, We're almost dead west of the Columbus area. So from Indy, south of Indy, southwest of Indianapolis, southeast of Bloomington, and west of Columbus. Those are the three points they can look at on the map and find it. And we'll have an address on the Facebook and a little map there. But if they want to look at it, pull up an Indiana map and look at that, find Hoosier National, and kind of look to the southeast side of it, almost dead west of Columbus, Indiana.
The nearest community to us is a little town called Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z, Kurtz, Indiana. We're about 6 miles out of Kurtz. And,
okay, all right.
What is the best way for people to locate you to set up a group ride with you?
Call us on the phone.
Yeah.
We want to talk to people,
There you go.
Gary's heard homeontherange.com, so he knows where I'm coming from.
I did too. I listened to your CD on the way home from Tennessee and absolutely love every bit of it.
Well,
great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well,
want people just call us and tell us, when you want to come or what you want to do.
Let's talk about your Facebook page. Do you have a website right now?
We do not have a website set up. That's coming in the future, probably. Currently, we're just using the Facebook.
Okay.
And on Facebook, they can look at Wind River Outfitters of Indiana. There's other Wind River Outfitters in the country, but need to make sure they put of Indiana.
Right.
And they can find us on Facebook there, see lots of photos and comments, and our phone numbers are on there as well, so they can give us a call.
Okay.
We don't have calendars posted, but we're open all the way through October, and currently we have open dates each month through then. We've got stuff scheduled here and there, but there's openings any month, July, August, September, October.
All right. Well, people need to check out Wind River Outfitters of Indiana, and the phone information is there, and I would assume some email information if they needed to email you as well would be on that Facebook page. So,
I'm not sure that's got on there yet, but we're going to do that. We need to add that. So then I got to figure out how to use it.
Well,
the phone.
I do like the phone.
You don't have to.
You let
Suzanne handle that for you.
Suzanne takes care of me. She does.
That's right.
I tell people tell everybody there's no buttons or screens on my horses, so I don't need to fool with it.
Gosh. Man. Well, listen, I want to tell you, you guys are absolutely great. The cooking is great. The entire atmosphere is great. The poetry and the music is great. And folks just were blown away with you at our event a few weeks ago up in at the Circle E. And they're already asking if you're coming back. And I said, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, they'll be there. So
well, we're down to the Lord willing, because the creeks have been rising.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah,
but he can handle it. He don't need to worry about the creeks. He can handle the rest of it. So
he can handle everything. He can handle everything.
That's right.
Well, listen, you guys are wonderful. Enjoyed having you with us. And as far as your music and your poetry, Danny, they can get that where?
It's available. If they want to download it through iTunes, Amazon.com, Google Play, Spotify, any of those, people can get it, download it themselves. If they want a hard copy, they can give me a call and give me an address, and I'll be happy to mail them a CD hard copy.
All right, sounds great.
And
sounds
so cool. They can look us up on the Facebook, and just give me a call, and I'll be happy to mail it to them if they want a hard copy.
Okay, and Roger, everybody kept telling me that you look like Kix Brooks. That never happens to you, does it?
I heard that before.
Just so nobody tells us we look like Biscuit and Beans, we'll be okay.
There you go. Hey, you were going to give us a recipe. Let's do that before we go.
Yeah, yep, do that, Roger.
On a recipe.
Here's one that I've done a lot. We can do it at camp. Most people prefer the steak, but we do this. It's called plank trout or plank salmon. It's salmon or trout on plank. And the unique thing about this one here, you don't use a grill. You build a campfire to cook this fish. So you take your salmon or trout. You can either catch it or buy it. The first time I tried this recipe, we caught our own trout. We were bear hunting up in Colorado at a high country lake, and we caught our own trout. But you build your fire, surround it with rocks. You get your fire going, let some coals burn down, get you a good, healthy campfire. You take cedar planks. You can use a regular 1x6 cedar plank. I normally split mine out of a chunk of cedar wood with an axe. But regardless, whatever you use, you take that piece of wood that you're going to put your fish on, and you soak it in water for about an hour, because you want the wood wet, or else it's going to flame up on you and get charred.
Right.
But once you get your fire going, you get your wood soaked, you take your fish, and you want the skin on these fish, whether they're trout or salmon. You want to leave the skin on them. And you've got them split, laid open. You nail those fish to your plank with 3 or 4 nails. You just nail them. You tack it to the plank so it can't move. And then you can take either olive oil or bacon fat. I've done both. I kind of like the bacon fat. Olive oil or bacon fat, you brush it on your fish. Get a good dose of oil on there. Then once you get it oiled, you take, ground some black pepper. I usually grind my own pepper. I try not to use, pepper that's already been ground. I grind my own pepper. Grind your own sea salt, a little pepper, a little salt on the fish fillets. A little bit of cayenne pepper, not much, just a touch of cayenne pepper. And then you want to go with fresh herbs, rosemary, marjoram, and thyme. You want to use fresh herbs. Coat those on the fish, pat them in so they don't fall. Once you get your fish seasoned, take some aluminum foil, put it on the bottom edge of your plank that you've got your fish nailed to, and then you stand those fish up around the campfire. You stand them up,
wow.
lean them against the rocks, and you let the indirect heat from the campfire cook the fish. And normally for trout, it would take about 20 minutes. And then when they start getting crispy, On the outside, they're getting done. Salmon might take a little bit longer, maybe 5 more minutes.
Uh-huh.
But once those fish cook, leaned up against those rocks facing the fire, once they cook, you take the foil off the end of the plank. And what the foil does, keeps the end of the plank from getting ashes on it. because the oil is going to run down on the plank, and that foil traps the oil and it keeps the ashes from getting all over the plank. You would strip away the foil, lay the plank on your lap, take your fork, and have at it.
That sounds so good.
It is.
It's different than cooking on a grill. And it's kind of a unique style of cooking. It looks good while it's being prepared.
Right.
And the fresh herbs.
It's a sweeter flavor, but.
It does. It does. And the fresh herbs give the fish a great, great flavor. Like I said, we did it. First time I ever did it, we were in Colorado hunting bear. And me and my brother and a friend of ours. And we packed up to a high country lake, caught a mess of brook trout, and filleted those and put them on that cedar plank. And I don't know if I was really that hungry or if it was just the atmosphere, the scenery, but it was undoubtedly the best fish I ever had.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We ended up again the next morning for breakfast. We had trout for breakfast with eggs and fried potato. So,
Sounds
that good.
Sounds good. Well,
we'll put that on our Facebook, that recipe. So.
Yeah, we'll do that. And again, that's Wind River Outfitters of Indiana. So when you go over and look at the recipe, be sure and like their page, because we all like to be liked. And you're a lot of fun, and it's a joy to have you on. Great poetry, great music, great food. And so we're going to have a big time seeing you guys next June, if not before then.
Yeah, and hopefully before.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so. While you've been talking, I've been thinking, so that's always dangerous.
Yeah, that's the word on the street.
Yeah, somebody said when Gary gets lost in thought, it's strange territory.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Well, listen, appreciate you guys being with us, and we're going to close this segment out with a great song from the Riders in the Sky called Blue Shadows on the Trail, and visit Wind River Outfitters of Indiana on Facebook, like them, get that recipe, try it out, and be sure and order some of the great music and poetry that Danny's putting out. And you know, we didn't talk about the fact that Roger's just a pretty doggone good guitar player too. I mean, it's
he is. It adds a whole new, it just adds so much to it, you know. And
that's right.
The chemistry between Roger and Danny is awesome with his music playing and the whole look
and
everything.
That, and that's odd.
And
that's odd because I didn't take chemistry in high school, so it's really strange that it worked out that way.
Well, it's good. Trust me on that.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much, and we look forward
to
talking with you soon, and we'll be right back.
Alrighty.
On Equestrian Legacy Radio to talk with Tina May as we close things up for today. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Bye.
Shades of night are falling as the wind begins to sigh. And the world is silhouetted against the sky.
Oh, oh, oh!
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Blue shadows on the trail. And a plaintive wail from the distance comes a-drifting on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come. Until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail.
till the darkness sheds its veil. There'll be blue shadows on the trail, shadows on the trail.
That is the Riders in the Sky doing an old one, Blue Shadows on the Trails, and that's from their latest CD, A Salute to Roy Rogers. Tina May, it has been a fun show. And
yes, it has.
I could tell that you were thinking about that food as they were describing everything.
I was stuck on the steak till they started talking about the salmon and the trout.
I was still stuck on that ribeye. When they started talking about that ribeye, I thought,
I love a good steak.
That would be awfully good. That would be awfully good. But anyway, great guys, Roger Mills and Danny Berry, and visit them on Facebook at Wind River Outfitters of Indiana. And just neat guys in person, and really, really fine guys. And their wives are just great. Jan and Suzanne, really fine folks.
And the atmosphere they provide is just, it takes you back in time, and it's great how they do it.
Yeah, I could see you becoming younger the whole time that you were there. So that was pretty neat. Hey, we've got some great shows that are coming up. Tell us who we have joining us next. Is it Thursday or Tuesday? When do we do this show?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Saddle Up America on Tuesday. So who do we have coming up next week on Saddle Up America?
Next week we have a unique guest that I had met on one of my venture trails. Actually, I was in Alabama at the time, and her name is Donna Brubaker. She has retired several years ago and has been living in her horse trailer and traveling this country ever since. And then we travel up to Camden, Michigan, and we talk to Ned White, owner of The Bluff.
All right. So that sounds like a great show. I know a few people that retired and are living in a doghouse, but...
Was that retired or divorced?
Well, that could be. But anyway, so we look forward to that show next week. This Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, joining me is my co-host Bobby Jean Bell out in Santa Clarita, and we're going to be visiting with Lily Roberts. And Lily is a tremendous artist and performer. She's a cowgirl, but with a little jazz swing to what she does. And so it's going to be a lot of fun talking with her and listening to her music. And she'll be coming to us from Jackson, Wyoming, where we were a few weeks ago with the Heart Six Guest Ranch, if you remember, Tina May.
Yes, I do.
So we'll be back out there. And then this Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, we'll be visiting with Carolyn Martin, and just one of the sweetest people and a beautiful voice. And so she'll be joining Belinda at 9 o'clock on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Sunday morning. And we want to just remind folks, if you have missed any of our past shows, very easy to go back and listen to our archive podcast. Some folks that have podcasts are kind of hard to find, but these are easy to go back to. And last week we had the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band on Thursday with the Horse Sluts, Candace Wade and Penny Langley, and it was just a heck of a fun show on Thursday. And then we had great guests on Tuesday with the Saddle Up America. And who did we have last Tuesday?
Well, last Tuesday we had Circle E. Yes. No, we didn't. You threw me off there.
You did that on purpose.
Gosh.
We had Tim Assen and Tracy Assen from Buffalo River Trail Ride.
That's right. Some super, super people down in the west part of Tennessee, and really mm-hmm. enjoyed having them on. And I believe we had Susanna Gibson with us, didn't we?
Oh, yes, and she's always good.
Yeah.
Every third Tuesday of the month, Susanna Gibson
is right.
She could do a whole show.
That's right. So anyway, we've had some great shows. You can go back and listen to any of our shows in our archive podcast. Just go to equestrianlegacy.net, and you can find them there. And we've kind of reworked our website just a little bit. It's really easy to go and visit our Legacy Select campgrounds and guest ranches from the home page now. We've made it just so simple. And as well as our general store, and we are moving our Legacy Club sponsors over to mm-hmm. the general store. And so you'll see everything all together right there. And while I'm mentioning that, tell us a little bit about the Legacy Club.
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free. With the benefits are great, like discounts and promos from a Legacy Club sponsor, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawings, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Showtime Trailers. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net. And Gary, you have done a fantastic job on the website.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, anyway, we encourage people to go visit. You can find out a lot of information on the website, and it's real easy to go shop with all of our sponsors in the general store and in the Legacy Club. Just click their logo, and it'll take you right to their website. And fun to go shopping with all of these folks. So everything from horse trailers to saddles to Western wear to kitchen tack boxes or TNT kitchen mm-hmm. boxes,
mounted right. TNT camp kitchen boxes.
That's right. That is right. So, and music, I mean, there's just a big selection of stuff on there. So visit the website at equestrianlegacy.net, and you can go shopping today. And you can also find out what's coming up with our programming and find out a little bit more about our host as well. So anyway, visit our website, visit our Facebook page at Equestrian Legacy Radio, and like us there. Tina May, any final thoughts that you want to share?
I just hope that people are staying dry in these places where all this rain's coming in and summer's coming to dry it out, and just get on your horse and ride.
All right. So get out and get in the saddle. And we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, to get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride.
On Equestrian Legacy Radio, and be sure and invite your friends to join us. So we'd love to have our family grow as well. We're going to close out this segment
Absolutely.
Today with a great song by Bryn Hill. And when we were talking with Danny and Roger earlier, we were talking about how many poems had been made into songs. This is one that's based on a poem by Waddy Mitchell. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's The Rawhide Braider by Bryn Hill. And again, we thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Cut braid and strings narrow and thin.
Todd and be the trade in the cool Sunday shade. The wisdom of more years than I'd been. For decades he practiced the skill of the craftsman. For usable art he would strive. His whisper to a world where nothing seems to last will slow down, no one gets out alive. Over to under, too late, pull again. I will teach you, Riyadh, my friend. Like a spirit, they fly on the wind. Over to wander, to lay, pull in. My Sundays in his school of life, each share of the things that he knew. And I found that most guys that I'd long idolized learned their rawhide under him too. Prepare the hide well, keep your blade sharp as hell. Damper the strings almost dry. Take time to lay every string tight and straight. Make something that's worthy of pride. We'll live long after you die. Over to wander, too late, pull again. I will teach you, Riyadh, my friend. One day we are all dust in the wind.